Would you please turn to Psalm 40? It might take you a little while to find it, but keep looking. In the King James Bible, it's right after Psalm 39. Now, I thought Psalm 40 would be especially appropriate for us because of what is happening in the world, in our country, in our culture. And it's a passage of encouragement. Today, the news is not very good. People are struggling as never before. And in the last 2 months, my counseling schedule has increased dramatically. People are hurting. And we need some good news. And Psalm 40 gives us good news. And I come this morning with really, really good news. If you would like to hear good news, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, let's go. Psalm 40, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and worship and shall trust in the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Bless this word this morning to your own glory, to the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the honor of the Holy Spirit, to the edification of your people, and to the reaching out of your saving grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the outline for this text is right here in the text. It's a three-point message. Point one, brought up. Point two, set up. Point three, tuned up. And so that's the way we'll look at it, and please follow. It's a psalm of David, and he's in a horrible pit. Now, there's a problem of interpretation. Is this an unbeliever, a non-Christian, praying for salvation? Or is this a Christian, a believer, who's in a horrible pit? Well, it's obvious that it is a Christian in a horrible pit. And you say, can Christians get in a horrible pit? You better believe it. It happens, and we do. Sometimes it's our own doing. Sometimes it's brought upon us from outside influence. But David is there, and it happens to us. So we have a believer in the Lord in this condition. And we learn a lot about prayer just in this first phrase. I waited patiently for the Lord. That's prayer. And you know, in the polls taken through the years among Christians about what's the greatest problem in the Christian life? What do you struggle with the most? And the answer through the years has been prayer. Christians have problems with prayer. You have problems with prayer. I have problems with prayer. Interestingly enough, one of our problems is that our mind strays. And we can be before the Almighty Lord, and suddenly there's a thought that comes that just way off base. Or we can get drowsy. Imagine that, a human being in the presence of God getting sleepy. Am I alone, or does this communicate? Well, you're not going to admit it, but it happens. So we learn a lot about prayer. I waited patiently for the Lord. In the scripture, waiting is a huge subject. To wait for the Lord is hard for us because we think he's slow. He's really slow, Lord, now. But he has his own timing. I waited patiently for the Lord. And we ask, what enabled David to wait patiently for the Lord? Well, first of all, he was able to do this because he believed in God's ability, his sovereignty. He is able to help me. I'll look to him. Secondly, he believed in God's compassion. God cares. Never, ever in your Christian life ever think that God doesn't care. His compassions fail not. Thirdly, David waited expectantly because of his faith. Faith waits with expectation. Why come to God in prayer if you don't believe he's going to do something? That's faith. So we learn how to pray here, to wait patiently. Then he says, for the Lord. He was not looking for human answers. He was not praying for some human scheme to help him. He was willing to wait for the Lord, for the Lord's timing, and for the Lord's way to deliver him. I waited patiently for the Lord, And he inclined unto me. The word inclined means he leaned. God leaned toward me. And he heard my cry. Now here's another problem we have in prayer. Does he really hear me? Does God Almighty, is he really hearing my cry? We wonder, do we really have access into his holy presence? Can we rebellious sinners talk to God in his perfect justice? Yes, it's biblically true because of one reason, and that's because of the cross. It's because Jesus made the way. He inclines to us and he hears our cry because of Christ. So when we come to God in prayer, we come with Jesus. We come with the blood. And we have access into his holy presence. I waited patiently for the Lord. He leaned toward me and he heard my cry. My cry. What is prayer? It's crying out to God. To cry out to God is our Christian life. God has compassion. And we pray with passion, with all that is within us. We cry to him. It is our plea. How often are we desperate, helpless, and in dire need? And we cry to our God. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Verse 2, the first point. See, we haven't even got to the first point. So you're in trouble. Now, I have a chair here, so maybe by the third point I'll have to sit down. Because the third point is the longest. Oh, you are in trouble. First point, he brought me up out of. Emphasis on the word he. He, God, the Lord, the Almighty. He did it. He brought, carried, delivered, rescued me out of this horrible pit. And you can say that about yourself this morning. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, it's because he brought you out of a horrible pit of sin and delivered you into the kingdom of his dear Son. Salvation is a rescue, and only the Lord can rescue. And David acknowledges the Lord as his deliverer and rescuer. He brought me, and I tell you this morning, I bear that testimony. He brought me out of a horrible pit of living in this world system, a slave to sin, and he brought me into the life of faith in Christ. Now David writes, he brought me up out of. Very important words. Up out of. The salvation of the Lord is complete. He didn't just bring David to a place where he was hanging on, hoping he could pull himself out. No, the Lord brought him up out of complete the horrible pit, a prison, a deep, deep, horrible pit. Well, what about our pits? You could be here in church this morning and yet be in a spot in your life where you're in a horrible pit of depression, of financial difficulty, a health problem, a relationship problem, all kinds of difficulties and trials. And people today are worried, uncertain. The economy is staggering. People are out of work. The future doesn't look bright. The world is in a crisis. And now there will be a meeting between the Palestinians and the Israelites in an attempt to bring about peace. It's not going to happen. No politician is going to solve the problem between Ishmael and Isaac. It could lead to a huge war. There is uncertainty today. We need the Lord God to help us through. And he's prepared to do that. Now, David uses the term miry clay. And this spoke to me because I know about miry clay. During World War II, I served in the army in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, we had two seasons, rainy and more rainy. And the mud was like clay, and it stuck on your boots, and you gained about 20 pounds in an hour trying to walk around in miry clay. This term probably has something to do with quicksand. the miry clay he brought me up out of. Praise his holy name. Can you say, praise the Lord? Second point, set up here in the passage. He brought me up out of his horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That is, set my direction, my course in life. The Lord takes us out of the horrible pit and gives us a life with him, safely positioned, solid footed on the rock, who is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we live with him and in him and for him and by him. And so we sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And it's true. We are established. We are secure. We are fixed on the rock. And we have a new direction, a new way to live, a new purpose in life. We have been set up. One of the greatest problems in human experience is insecurity. Insecurity brings about bad behavior, causes us to do foolish, awful things. We need security. And it's here for us in the truth of God's word. Insecure people can't help others. Secure people can help others. All that we would know this morning, we're set upon the solid rock with life to live for his glory. Now we come to the third point. How many are glad we're at the third point? Well, don't answer me. The third point is that we're tuned up. We're brought up. We're set up. And now in verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and worship and shall trust in the Lord. Again, the emphasis on he. He put a new song in my mouth. The old songs were minor key, negative, and off key. Now, I'm not much of a musician, certainly not gifted in singing, but I can detect when somebody's off key. Do you ever sit next to somebody who's off key? Yeah, you have. Well, he has corrected that. We can now sing on key. the old song of the unbelieving is gone. The singing of despair and lament and moaning and groaning and crying. Our crying has turned to singing, a song of praise, triumph, victory in Christ. And he says, he put the song in my mouth, meaning expression. What is a song? It's an expression. What is a word? It is an expression. We have here the Word of God. It is God's expression of Himself and His plan to us. That's why this morning I can tell you I am here with confidence, not in anything that could come from me, but in everything that can come through the Word of God. This is authority. And what God did for David, He can do for anyone and everyone here this morning. He can bring you up out of any pit. He can set your feet upon Christ, and He can put a song in your heart and in your mouth. Now, here's an interesting thing. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God, and He says, many shall see it. You would have thought He would have said, many will hear it. No, many will see it. What's He talking about? Many shall see the joy of the Lord in our life. When Jesus was going to heal the young man in leprosy, four men brought him into the house, and it is said, when Jesus saw their faith, can faith be seen? Yes, through our life. Can joy be seen? Yes. And that's the testimony. Many shall see it and shall fear, and what it really means, shall worship, shall be in awe, and give reverent worship to our God, because they have seen the victory and triumph of the Lord. They shall then trust in the Lord. I think it's safe to say that faith is contagious. I know it was for me. In my wayward days, my thoughts still were of my mother, a mother of faith, of my older brother, a man of faith. And in some way, their faith, by the grace of God, became contagious toward me. And probably our faith is seen more readily in times of trial and difficulty when everything is just so easy. So trials and difficulties are a means of sharing our faith. It's an expression. It's a testimony of praise. And when we leave here today, would to God that we would leave with a testimony of praise to the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord Jehovah, which means the self-existent one, the Almighty One, the eternal God who heard my cry, leaned unto me, brought me out of a horrible pit, miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, established my life, tuned me up. I'm singing praise to our God. Oh, he paid attention. He heard the cry. And he acted with power and glory. And we stand on the solid rock. All the ground is sinking sand. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God Almighty, we worship you. We cry out to you. For this world in turmoil. For our own country. For our own community, for our church, for our families, and for each of us personally. Hear our cry. Move in our behalf today. And do your work of delivering and rescuing us, because you are the only one who can do it. Our hope and trust and faith is in you. Cause us to leave here with a testimony of praise. May it all be to the exaltation of Christ our Lord. And it's in his name, his wonderful name, the name of our shepherd, our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. So be it, and amen.